Dear founders and listeners, welcome to episode 4 of Old Chang Chats, Chinese history and tech startups, where we draw lessons from history to chart our own future. In the last episode, we spoke about how every leader will need to find his or her first 3 followers before they can go on to do big things. And we stopped at stage 1 of startup team formation, the starting up phase, to form a team with those you trust, those that you regard as brothers. This is the stage where the startup has no reputation, no money, and no track record. The most important element is to survive and stay united. Today, we will continue to talk about Liu Bang, the founding emperor of the Han Dynasty, and we take a closer look at how he moved beyond rallying his village friends by skillfully making use of professional talent. He managed to harness on his own brothers' strengths in their can-do spirit and the professional strength of those who followed him thereafter, an essential skill which his team was lacking. If you recall, a lot of Liu Bang's brothers in the initial stage, as I mentioned in episode 3, are people from very diverse backgrounds. The people who plays the flute in a funeral, there's a dog seller, there's also a snake eater, amongst his brothers. They have no experience in managing the military and have no idea of how governance will work when they subsequently become ministers of Han Dynasty. Therefore, we're talking about the stage, also known in Chinese as the growing up stage today. 成长阶段用专家强力. Today, we will explore the following issues. We hope to find out what distinguishes between the founder entrepreneur and what I have been calling management professionals, and how Liu Bang and the 3 men that he has identified, how they complement each other, and how eventually managed to build up Han Dynasty towards victory. And as usual, I'll end with drawing parallels with how China entrepreneurs form their team in the early stages. This week, apart from looking at Alibaba, we will also look at 2 other Chinese companies, New Oriental, Xingdongfang, and Tencent, 腾讯. So, to distinguish between the founder entrepreneur and the management professional, I will first start by saying that in reality, things are often not as polarized as I may have sounded them to be. I'm highlighting the division so that I can better illustrate the nuances between different strengths of individuals, and hopefully, founders and listeners can capture the point I'm trying to illustrate over here. Entrepreneurship is an extreme sport. And some investors have even coined the term founder DNA to show that entrepreneurs are indeed a rare breed. I will not deep dive into describing a founder or whether entrepreneurship can be nurtured or is it nature. But there's one point that I want to highlight, which is what separates founders from managers and founders and non-founders. And that is the self-belief and tenacity. Every startup story is not merely a calculation or an aggregation of successful operations. If that is the case, every operator or manager would have successfully produced countless unicorns. The truth is, reality requires individuals to have a vision, to have a judgment, to have an acumen, to persevere, to trust at the correct times, to be skeptical in other times. All of these skills are not hard skills that can be easily picked up. In fact, some say they can never be picked up. In the Western tech startup world, premium is placed on the ability to be able to do something technical, to be able to illustrate what a person can do. And that ability typically stems from education or corporate experience. The idea of leadership is sometimes known to be a bit more fluffy and is not often spoken about in Western startup literature. For example, Paul Graham in the early days of Y Combinator stated his bias towards having recruited engineers. And we generally do not hear a lot of stories about founders in the Valley who are illiterate or lowly educated. Those who are idolized are often highly educated or have corporate experience, such as Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and the Google founders. However, if we were to switch our lens to Asia, actually, most of the billionaires are either not formally schooled, they are illiterate, or they have received no professional training at all. Those from Hong Kong, Southeast Asia, or China, those that dominate the Forbes billionaire list in Asia, invariably belong to this category. And if we were to take a closer look at the China tech billionaires today, not all of them have engineering backgrounds. In fact, most of them do not have engineering backgrounds. But all of them will attribute their success to the more fluffy concept of founder DNA and leadership abilities. This difference in the attitudes between the Western startup world and those in Asia is rarely spoken about. And I think there is value in exploring that a bit further today. After reading some books in Asia, I think we can conclude. I think it is believed that there are three kinds of talents within a team. The first kind is the shuai cai, the zhu gong, the main leader and the commander. This is often the founder. This person sets the direction and is in charge of the overall team morale, provides a resolve to solve problems, and handles all human-related issues, such as identifying talent, retaining talent, and managing politics. In a previous episode, I spoke about how Liu Bei went to look for Zhuge Liang in identifying talent, and in this case today, Liu Bang plays the role of the commander leader here. The second type of talent is what we call Jiang Cai, Jiang Jun de Jiang. He is the general. The general is the individual who is tasked to execute and actualize on a particular vision. What they need to do is to win battles so that the commander can eventually win the war. The third kind of talent is what we call a Xiang Cai, Zai Xiang de Xiang, the premier, the prime minister, the coordinator. The coordinator attempts to resolve, provide resolution between individuals, between different departments, between different communication styles, and to facilitate flow in the operation. From a classical point of view, the founder is typically the entrepreneur, while the general and the prime minister role are taken up by professionals. The founder, the leader, need not know how to do a particular task or particular thing, but he or she must be able to know how to manage the professionals who are doing it. In Chinese, we call it the shuai cai, must be able to control and manage the jiang cai and the xiang cai. And the art of doing so is called yong ren zhi shu, the ability to use the art and ability to use talents. Specifically in Asia, sometimes the founder may not be as highly educated and typically may not know how to do certain things. In a tech company, the founder may not even understand hardware nor coding. Just like Lei Jun of Xiaomi, who was questioned about his ability and his lack of experience in hardware coding. But he responded, his main task as the leader is to know which manager to trust and to entrust and to know which task to focus on as the company's leader. Other Southeast Asian business leaders, such as Mr. Salim from Indonesia and Robert Kwok from Malaysia, have also shared similar sentiments in their respective biographies. So, the learning point here is actually quite obvious. Knowing how to do something and doing it well lies in the responsibility of the jiang and the xiang, the professional managers. But listeners, do take note. As I mentioned previously, in reality, the divide may not be that clear. The crux then lies in understanding which role a particular person is playing in the team. Is he the leader? Is he stepping up to be the leader, to be the shuai? Or is he a general, a premier, a coordinator? And that role will give the expectation that the team should have on the particular individual and the particular output from the person. In Liu Bang's situation, he accorded credit to three people in his eventual success. I would like to take some time to refresh everybody about Liu Bang's background. We must not forget that Liu Bang is actually not very well educated and he's also half illiterate. He spent most of his time hanging out in the streets during his youth all the way to his early 40s. He did not have a good reputation as an industrious farmer, nor does he have a good reputation of being trustworthy in his own hometown. So in his journey towards becoming emperor, in stage one, he managed to gather his brothers, who are his first team members in starting up. And in second stage today, he managed to recruit three people who covered the roles of being the Jiangcai, the general, the Xiangcai, the premier, and these three individuals covered things that Liu Bang was not educated in, was unable to do, namely military operations, strategy, logistics, and general administration. These three people are, firstly, Mr. Xiao He, the premier and the administrator. He was actually a government official in Liu Bang's hometown. He got to know Liu Bang during Liu Bang's days of hanging out in the street. Xiao He was in charge of logistics, finance, and HQ operations during Liu Bang's expansion plans. Xiao He is significantly more educated than Liu Bang, and he has all the managerial know-how in administering and managing a country. Xiao He was one of the brothers, one of the most educated brothers, in fact, that joined Liu Bang in the earlier days. Liu Bang was initially not confident of leading the band of brothers and offered Xiao He to be the leader. Xiao He turned it down and told Liu Bang that commanders have a personality and the ability to draw people to follow him. Xiao He did not think he has the ability to do so. And this concept is actually very important in Asia, the draw of the leader. Xiao He did not have the courage to step up and to be a hit in front as the leader. But he is very inspired to assist Liu Bang from behind to achieve greatness for everyone in the team. As such, Liu Bang has deep respect for Xiao He, and Xiao He remained loyal to Liu Bang throughout his life. He eventually became the first prime minister of the Han Dynasty. And if you have the chance to watch The King's War on Netflix, Liu Bang still addresses Xiao He as Xiao Da Ren, which means Your Excellency, Mr. Xiao, throughout the show, even after he has become the leader of his own camp. The second person that Liu Bang attributed success to was Zhang Liang. Zhang Liang took on the role as the chief military strategist in Liu Bang's camp. He was actually born a noble and was initially not interested in serving Liu Bang at all. He provided military strategies and advice to key decisions to Liu Bang. Liu Bang shared with him his brotherhood by always assigning individuals to add to Zhang Liang's security because Zhang Liang is not pugilistically trained. He ensured Zhang Liang's individual security by assigning bodyguards to Mr. Zhang Liang even when Zhang Liang was not part of his camp. Small gestures such as that touched Zhang Liang. And Zhang Liang was drawn to the fact that individuals like Xiao He actually respected Liu Bang, and Zhang Liang worked very well with Xiao He to assist Liu Bang. However, he left Liu Bang shortly after Liu Bang crowned himself as the emperor. In Liu Bang's terms, he said, "Without Zhang Liang's strategies, which helped me seal victory from miles away, I would have never triumphed over Xiang Ri's military might." As Liu Bang couldn't really read, nor does he have the opportunity to study war strategies, he was almost entirely reliant on Zhang Liang, and he trusted Zhang Liang to offer him sound advice. The third person is Han Xing, the military general who was crucial in many head-on battles against Liu Bang's enemy, Xiang Yu. Liu Bang never had the experience in managing an army of soldiers. The discipline required, the maneuvering of logistics, the drawing out of training schedules, were all requirements that were beyond Liu Bang's capabilities. Han Xing was introduced by Xiao He to Liu Bang. Initially, he was an arrogant individual who believed he was born a military strategist, and that pissed Liu Bang off greatly. But Xiao He managed to convince Liu Bang to look at the talents, to focus on Han Xing's talents. And Liu Bang eventually relented. Han Xing, being the arrogant person that he is, did many things to offend Liu Bang throughout the course of him as the military general. Liu Bang concealed his suspicion and distrust for Han Xing because Han Xing was previously serving Liu Bang's enemy Xiang Yu before making the switch. He concealed his intentions for Xiang Yu for Han Xing to win his support so as to be able to allow him to exhibit his military genius eventually. Now, if we were to take a look, you know, we turn to take a look at China's startup founders today, we actually see a very similar arrangement as well. It is likely that the ancient Chinese history and beliefs about the Shuai Cai, Jiang Cai, and Xiang Cai are deep-rooted in the mindsets of China founders. I'll first start off with the example I use most frequently on Ouchang chats, Alibaba. Jack Ma introduced his team in the early 2000s in a manner that almost sounded identical to how Liu Bang recollected his victory with Xiao He, Zhang Liang, and Han Xing. I read a book which published an interview which Jack Ma gave shortly after he raised money from Goldman Sachs. He said his core team, not referring to his 18 founders, consists of 4 individuals who have talents in different fields and is the best representation of a quote-unquote a Chinese team then. He said he, Jack Ma, is the CEO. He provides the vision and he's from Hangzhou, mainland China. His CFO, Zhou Cai, is a Canadian-Taiwanese who is well-versed in finance and the law. His COO, Savio Kwan, is a British-Hong Kong-Chinese who had 25 years of professional experience at General Electric, GE. And lastly, his CTO, John Wu, is an American Shanghainese. The way that Jack Ma introduced his core team in this particular way is almost similar to how Liu Bang attributed logistics and administration to Xiao He, military strategy to Zhang Liang, and military expedition to Han Xing. And in this case, he was trying to boost his team's brand name by introducing them to be of different Chinese descent and of different capabilities. Today, I'd like to introduce 2 more companies and we take a look at how their founding team is actually being constructed. The first company I hope to introduce to everyone is this company called New Oriental, Xing Dongfang. It is a school which teaches English to Chinese students and it was listed on the New York Stock Exchange in 2006. It was started by Yu Minghong, who was a teacher in Beijing, and he was not educated overseas. He started up the company in 1993 with his family members serving as the initial staff in the company. After 3 years, he invited his classmates, Bob Xu, Xu Xiaoping, and Wang Qiang, who were then residing in China, in Canada and US, to join him by returning to China to expand the company. You can actually watch and read about their story in a movie called American Dreams in China, 中国合伙人, on Netflix. Eventually, the 2 founders who are more Western inclined, who has a better grasp of the English language and the ability to know how to think and express thoughts in English than Yu Minghong, helped brought the company to greater heights. Eventually, the 2 founders, Wang Qiang and Xu Xiaoping, Bob Xu, left New Oriental to start the now famous early-stage venture fund in China called Zhen Fund. The movie American Dreams in China, 中国合伙人, is extremely inspiring and I recommend my listeners to go check it out as well. And in this case, you can see, actually, Yu Minghong started a company without any foreign experience, but he was trying to teach students on how to apply for SAT, on GMAT and TOEFL. He needed professional experience, which Xu Xiaoping and Wang Qiang provided when they returned from Canada and the US. Similarly, in Tencent, the 5 founders of Tencent, of which in China they call them Tengxun Wuhu, the 5 tigers of Tengxun, are also developed in a similar way. The CEO, CTO, and CIO are university classmates. And the CEO and the CAO, the administrative officer, were secondary schoolmates. The four of them brought in the CIO, who is the professional, the chief information officer. In Xiaomi, Lei Jin had 7 co-founders. They were mostly made up of professionals to actually complement Lei Jin's lack of understanding in hardware. And a lot of these professionals, the CTO in this case, Ling Bing of Xiaomi, was the hardware and hardware of hardware's vice president, were previously from Google. And part a lot of the founding 7 co-founders in Xiaomi were also researchers in very renowned institutes in universities in the US, such as Georgia Tech and the Purdue University. So in Lei Jin's experience, bringing in professionals early on actually also consolidated Xiaomi's position as a tech company. So dear founders and listeners, let's recap. A founder of an early stage startup needs to recognize its limitations and focus on leveraging on strengths, which the founding team may not be able to provide. It is timely that we combine some lessons from episode 3 and to this episode. Firstly, founders must recognize that there may be 3 types of roles in a highly effective team. The shuai cai, the leader. The jiang cai, the general. The xiang cai, the coordinator. Secondly, the commander and the leaders must stay focused on knowing what to do and to entrust the correct individuals to correct it. It is the leader's role to identify the talents and to ensure unity, where the rest of the other people, the generals and the administrators, accept their place vis-a-vis those above them and around them. This is a lesson that we spoke about in episode 3. And if you have not listened to episode 3, please feel free to go back and check it out. And lastly, the third lesson for today is for leaders to know that knowing how to do something and doing it well is the responsibility of the professional manager. His role is to focus on knowing what to do and to entrust them to be able to execute it. Obviously, managing people smarter than you and entrusting key functions of building a company requires superior people skills and leadership. It is not easy to work with these talented and professionals. And we always wonder, because they will always wonder, why should they acknowledge or follow the leadership of a founder who may not be as capable as them in their professional fields? Problems will also arise when the general thinks he can be the commander or a leader, or when the commander doesn't step up to take responsibility for the outcomes of his generals. Most people will want the power of the commander, but do not want to take up the responsibilities of it, while others want to be recognized as a commander, but are only willing to perform as generals. These are complicated team dynamic issues, and it will definitely be interesting to explore them further. As such, we're not done talking about founders' experience in forming their teams beyond the brotherhood stage. In the next episode, I will speak about the challenges in dealing with pride and ego issues with professionals and how should founders prepare themselves when they navigate it. For now, I would like to end this episode by reciting what Liu Bang wrote when he attributed success to Xiao He, Zhang Liang, and Han Xing. It was recorded that Liu Bang said the following: "Gong zhi qi yi, wei zhi qi er. Sir, you only know half the story of my ascent to become emperor. Fu yun chou wei wo zhi zhong, jue sheng qian li zhi wai, wu bu ru zi fang." In terms of strategizing, preparation, and decision making from 1,000 miles away, I am not as good as Zhang Liang. 振国家，扶百姓，给馈饷，不绝粮道，无不如萧何. In terms of settlement, providing necessities and livelihood to the people, and ensuring I have a good steady flow of supplies and logistics, I'm not as good as 萧何. 连百万之军，战必胜，攻必取，无不如韩信. In terms of the ability to mobilize millions of troops, where every battle leads to victory and every attempt leads to a successful conquest, I owe it to Han Xing. So dear founders and listeners, who are the Jiang Cai generals and Xiang Cai coordinators in your team? This is O Chang Chats, where we learn from history to chart our future. This is O Chang, looking forward to see you in the next episode. Cheers.